I will say 9th anniversary is a celebration with high expectation that every South Sudanese in every corner, at every capacity, is yearning to see peace and stability prevail, to give us a bit of development. Though I know in the 9th anniversary, at least now we have started somehow a development that we have been yearning for, construction of roads that are now going on, is a bit giving a signal that we're getting out of Juba now going to the communities. So the concept of transferring the town to the villages, we have started at the kickoff of the 9th anniversary. That's a very good one. But still, we have critical challenges that need to be addressed as we celebrate the 9th anniversary.
So what are these challenges that requires remedy as soon as possible?
One, it is the change of political attitudes among our political allies or our political elites, is that we need to see our political leaders to change their attitudes. Wherever they have a discontented issues, resolution of their discontented issues should not be violent. They should entertain the culture of dialogue, the culture of speaking at a table without raising our arms. That's something that we need to change as we're heading towards our 10th anniversary. The other thing is also the commitment to ensure that they deliver service to the citizens of the country. As we said previously, when we're waging up arms against Sudan in 1983, is a question of democratic system of governance and then delivery of services. Right now, still, we have questions about the civic space, freedom of expression, freedom of the media, and still we have questions around transparency. We have had this morning in Miraya, people are talking about corruption at a rampant level. Still, we have individuals who feel they're above the law, they can do whatever they want to do. Intercommunal violence, which in history exists, but right now is being fueled politically for political gains. So these are the challenges in front of us as we're heading towards our 10th anniversary and as we're marking our 9th anniversary.
And we just spoke to the Minister of Peace, Honorable Stephen Palkol, and he confirmed that the leaders of this country did not live to the expectation of the people of South Sudan. What can our leaders learn from their past mistakes that can shape a bright future for a country like South Sudan?
You know, politically, I would like to communicate to our leaders, when we wage up arms against the system in Sudan 1983, we say we are oppressed and marginalized. In simplest way, we say by then we are second-class citizens. That means if you refer to literature, we are saying by then in Sudan we are living in animal farms where all Sudanese are equal, but some Sudanese are more equal than the others. Mm-hmm. Now we need to ask ourselves, after our independence, are all South Sudanese equal? Are there no South Sudanese more equal than the others? Obviously, we have some South Sudanese who feel they are more equal than the others in the way how we conduct our businesses, in the way how we respond to each other, in the way how we maintain the culture. So really, they have not met the expectation of the citizens. Expectation that we have is that we need to leave a country united, a country that politically, whenever there's a dispute, this will not resolve in a violent way. We live in a country that corruption is very low. We live in a country that citizens are getting services as they wish to have it. We have a country that we cannot arrest and detain ourselves simply because of dispute or differences in argument. We live in a country where we live together, united in differences and diversity. That's the expectation. But our politicians, since our independence, they have not lived to that expectation.
And now we have the revitalized peace agreement in front of us, which you fully participated right from day one up to today. And the implementation is not up to the expectation and aspiration of the people of South Sudan, who wanted this peace to be done as soon as possible. Actually, as soon as yesterday, not today. What should be done right now to navigate through the challenges the peace process is going through, so that we can reach a promised land?
You know, the challenge with our South Sudanese political leaders is that when we negotiate the agreement, they negotiate it as a parties. Now, when they implement the agreement, they're implementing it as individuals. So it is the principles of the parties who signed the agreement. They need to demonstrate a political will to implement the agreement, because it was so much personalized at the implementation level. The negotiation, they negotiate as a team. But implementation, we need to favor individuals more than the ultimate goal of peace and stability in the country. So the political elites of this country that belong to the parties have not yet regained trust and confidence that they can live together without fear of each other. And that's the challenge of the implementation. So what needs to be done is that the principal of the parties, the top leaders of the parties who are sitting to the agreement, need to regain trust that they can work together as South Sudanese and deliver this country. And they need to commit themselves to the principle that whatever we're doing for the sake of the South Sudanese. We're not doing for the sake of our individual interests. So politicians need to balance. In the balancing, they need to put the expectation of the citizens more upper than their personal, individual, or their clique's expectation. Because cliques are now, we should not be moving towards state capture by certain cliques of individuals. We should move towards our state is free from individual capture the state. That is what needs to be done with regard to the implementation agreement. Because the agreement is below expectation. Too many tax are not yet being implemented, and the time is expiring, and extension is going to become a culture of implement agreement. And we are also political reasons. Look at the national parliament. Formation of national parliament is taking us too much. Formation of state is taking us too much time. Why all this? Are we different? Are we enemies? What's our problem? We can't resolve our problem in a better way that we can show the global community that we struggle to have the independence because we understand each other and we live to live together in our difference and our diversity.
And from a civil society point of view, Edmond, we are, like you mentioned, tomorrow we are clocking 9 years. And from there, we shall begin a journey of a decade, at least 10 years down the line. What do we need to do, or what does our politician need to do in order to cross this bridge of a decade so that at least people can learn from South Sudan that, okay, yes, they got independent, they messed up, but they moved on?
We can go to a better decade if we're able to separate politics from military. One thing for us to go for our decade, we don't want to see these characteristics where somebody's a politician and is a general in the barracks. He failed to meet his personal expectation in the parliament. He want to jump to the barracks to meet his expectation. He failed to meet his expectation in the barracks. He want to jump to the parliament. This need to be separated. Decide, you want to be a politician in politics, continue the politics. You want to remain in uniform, remain professional in uniform to protect this country. These are the things that we need to go for the journey. Two, we don't want politicians who want to put all their expense of their families into the public treasury. Get what you get from public treasury in your individual efforts and use it maximally. Never be corrupt, because we have seen corruption is of high level. Thirdly, we need to go to on our way to decade, we need a society where we have the rule of law, where civilian supremacy is observed by all security actors. Nobody will tell us what we have been learning in Sudan. If we want to go to the decade, all these attitudes, we need to stop it. And our communities, we should not accept ourselves to be used by politicians to kill ourselves for their gain.
And what is your final recommendation towards the implementation of this revitalized peace agreement, which you are seeking theory to? Because, like you mentioned, things are not moving by the expectation of South Sudanese. The parliament have not been formed, reconstituted yet. It have taken very long time to partially form, announce the state governance. I don't know how long it will take to implement the security arrangement. So what are your recommendations to the parties?
My recommendation is that, one, they need to have the political will to deliver the Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 immediate action. For example, Chapter 2, up to now we say we have two armies. We need to have the unified forces, the necessary unified forces, train and graduate. I know COVID-19 is challenging us in that. VIP need to be graduated. I know we are aware of that. Also, we need to make sure that as we are now in the spirit of the 9th anniversary, going to the decades, the politicians need to have the will to implement. Let them not personalize the agreement too much. Let them leave the agreement to implement itself by its spirit and words than personalizing too much. We don't have new interpretation into the agreement. And also one thing that we need to see is that the political parties need to make sure that they have the primary responsibility to make peace and stability exist in this country. Does not depend to anybody. The question of funding the peace agreement, we want to look for donors' money than our own money, does not make sense. Let us put our money. Peace in South Sudan should be by South Sudanese solution with South Sudanese money. We should not look for others to put money. There's nobody who give free lunch. Anybody who give you a penny, there must be an objective of why I give you the penny. And you must respond to my objective why I give you the penny. So why are we not using our money properly? Corruption. Politicians need to lift their hands from corruption. Corruption is giving us hard time. Corruption is equal to crime against humanity. That's where we can implement this agreement. Otherwise, I think without a political change of attitudes towards a democratic way of doing things, we'll go to the decade with the same wounds in our body.
Thank you so much, Edmond Yakani, and we also wish you the 9th anniversary. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you too.